There's an old story about the man who called 911. He was at a mall, he got into his car, and he called 911, and he said, somebody's broken into my car, the stereo's gone, the steering wheel, everything, the brake pedals, everything's gone. So the cop raced over, and the cop called back, don't worry about it, he got into the back seat of the car. Did you get it? It was just wrong. And the question is the church wrong like that as we have gotten older? Is the church wrong? And in this book, Dr. William Johnson, 82 years old, said he heard them say at the general conference, maybe this will be the last general conference. And he says, I have heard that for the last 7 general conferences that I've been going to, which is what, 35, 40 years. Every time they say, maybe this will be the last general conference, maybe we will never be together again like this again. He said, something has to change. We can't keep talking like that. He said, we had a group of people that started our church off, and they had the signs, and we had the dark day, and we had the stars fall, and said Christ was coming, but we're still here. What are we going to do about it? Every war, whenever there's a war, Adventist preachers go across advertising, here it is, Armageddon, here it is, the final signs of the end. Those of people that are my generation or older remember a man named Johnny Todd. Anybody remember Johnny Todd? Maybe you weren't around, but it went all across the country. He was a young man who said he had grown up going to witchcraft and covens. And he said all the CEOs of all the big companies in America were run by witches. And we were under the control of the Trilateral Commission and the Illuminati and all these things. He had cassette tapes that went everywhere. He came to Andrews where I was. 2,000 people were in church to hear Johnny Todd. And he said there were congressmen, as we speak, who were writing Sunday laws, and we're going to be in this time zone. He said, you better have 6 months of food in your house because you're not going to be able to buy or sell, and you better be ready. We're still here. Johnny Todd was a fraud. I was at Newbury Park. People brought to me, these are Adventists that brought to me, earthquake visions. All these people were having earthquake visions that some way, because of California and Southern California Adventist sins, we're going to have the big one, and there's going to be a whole bunch of California going to wash into the ocean, and you and I will have beachfront property. And they said to me, I saw the vision. They said to me, Pastor Dan, we need to move out. Of course, they had already moved out. Only people in Texas had these visions. No one in California had these visions. And people said to me in grade school, Pastor, you know that as it was in the days of Noah, 120 years, then Christ will come. And so in 1844, 1964, they were sure Christ was coming, 1964. One of the general conference speakers 20 years ago began to speak all over the country about 2000, Y2K. And he wrote books. And he was a bestseller, and he was speaking every weekend somewhere in the Adventist church. And someone invited him to come and speak at the La Sierra Gymnasium, not in my church, but in the gymnasium. And I called him up. I'm the pastor of this community. And I said, you're date setting. Otherwise, he says, not to do that. He said, I'm not date setting. But he said, I am the most popular speaker in the Adventist church today, and my books are the number one seller. But we're still here. And I was in the ABC this week, and his books are on the sale table for a dollar. They weren't true. And Dr. Johnson, at 82 years old, taught me in the seminary. He says those early pioneers, even though they decided that it was true that Christ didn't come in 1844, they were still convinced that Christ would come in their lifetime. It hasn't come in their lifetime. It didn't come in their children's lifetime. It didn't come in their grandchildren's lifetime. And it didn't come in their great-grandchildren's lifetime. And he said, can we still hold on to this dream that someday Christ is going to come in the clouds and glory and take us away from this place? Or do we need to reevaluate and say, maybe, maybe not? I was pastoring in Newbury Park. Hilda and I just got married. And the conference president of Hawaii came to see me. They needed a pastor for the Honolulu Central Church. I was young, 31, 32. But they wanted to give me a chance. And they said, Pastor Dan, you love all the different ethnic groups. There's Chinese and Japanese and Samoan and Tongan, and you love all that. So I think it'd be great. We had a wonderful time. And he told me that I was number two on the list. There was an older pastor, number one. And he says, if that doesn't work, we'll come talk to you. I thought, I'm going to Hawaii. I heard through the grapevine that number one had said no. So I thought, it's us. And I began to plan to go to Hawaii. I had surfboards in my head. I was going to buy a sailboat. I was going to wear a Hawaiian shirt. I would never be in a tie and a suit again. We're going to Hawaii. I was sure we were going to Hawaii. I couldn't write a sermon. We're going to Hawaii. Except he never called me back. It never happened. I wasn't old enough. Are we like that? Jesus says, I'm going to come back. I'm going to take you to this wonderful place. And we begin to dream and plan as if we're going, but he doesn't call us back. I did a wedding in Chicago 20-some years ago. He called me up. He said, Pastor Dan, she's left me. Is that how long she's been gone? Been gone 2 years. She's out there, Pastor Dan. She's here in Orange County. I know which church she goes to, not here. And he said, Pastor Dan, I don't know where I stand. I still think we're married. I still keep all her clothes in her closet. I still put food out for her. I believe she's coming back, Pastor Dan. I'm still married. Can you find out? Well, I know where to find her. I called. And I had to call him back in Chicago. I said, I'm so sorry. She's not coming back. You're not married. That's over. Began to cry with me on the phone. It's gone. Is that what we are? Do we need to just accept that this is the reality? He said, I'm coming back soon, but it's been 2,000 years. And it's time to just accept it and acknowledge the reality that it's just not going to come. Pastor Sam Lenore from La Sierra spoke on this up in Seattle a couple years ago. We have a chart. You can see some of these charts. Can we put the chart up? There we go. Various charts. All of Daniel and Revelation, all the last days. Look at all that chart. You have the next one. A couple more. This is a famous one. This is a Collier chart. Remember the Collier chart, Tom? Every pastor had to buy one of these charts. I know this pastor. He would come to last year, every year for Alumni Day and apologize for his chart. Passed away now. Why do we do charts? Because we hope that if we can see that all these things have happened according to the progression, we can target, we're almost there. Just a little bit to go. We're almost there. We can get close to setting a date. And then Sam Lenore says, but all these charts are at least a little bit wrong because we're still here. We're still here. He said, maybe we should go to this chart. And he put this chart up. You have the next one? Can we go to the next chart, please? Where'd it go? Well, it's not there. Where did those pictures come from? Wow. Anyway, the slide that I wanted to have right there, he said, maybe all the chart we need is now and then. Now we don't have Christ, then we have Christ, now and then. Should we get rid of all of our charts? Should we get rid of this progression? Here we are and see where we are in time. Ellen White says, we are not to bring the time of trouble into today. We are not to have the time of trouble begin now by being worried about it. Number two, she says we are not to use fear. She says fear is not the best motivation. We should not use fear of Christ's soon second coming to get people to come to church or to give your life to Christ or to give money for the church. Not supposed to use fear. And you've heard me use a story about the fire in the house in China where the family came out and then the little kids were upstairs. The father yelled at the little kids to jump. The house is on fire. They don't want to jump until he says, Daddy will buy you bigger toys, better toys. Now jump. Then they were willing to jump. And we talk all over the world with pastors and churches. Will we win the world and get the world to come? If we just talk about the fire, maybe we won't win the world until we talk about our God having bigger toys, better toys, more wonderful toys. And then Bill Johnson puts this quote, one of the most famous quotes in Ellen White about the second coming and the timing. I don't know what's wrong with our, why that's in there, but anyway, somehow it's in there. Here's the quote, Review and Herald, 1892. You will not be able to say that he will come in 1, 2, or 5 years. Neither are you to put off his coming by stating it will not be for 10 or 20 years. You can't say he'll come by the next General Conference session. Don't say 1, 2, or 5 years. Don't put it off to 20 or 100 years. Just use the word soon. Ellen White says, we are not to live upon time excitement. There will never again be a message of the people of God that will be based on time. Selected Messages, Volume 1. So what are we supposed to do with all these texts? I'm just going to bring you to them. Can we get this thing fixed? Are you able to show my text? Okay, there we go. Next one, go on. Next one. Okay, here we go. We're caught up. So I'll give you some of these texts as fast as you can click them on. Behold, I am coming soon. The time is near. Keep moving. The Lord is at hand. It is at the last hour. The night is far gone. Paul told people not to get married because it's coming so soon. Don't do it. Be like me. He said, stay single. 1 Corinthians 7, the time is short. 1 Thessalonians, we who are alive will be. Paul believed that we would be alive and he would be one who would go onto the cloud. But we're still here. And then the two famous quotes. Matthew 16, 28. Some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. In Matthew 24, verse 34, this generation shall not pass until all these things take place. But they're all dead. And it's been 2,000 years of dead people. Well, we have to decide. What are the answers? There are thousands of books that have been written about this. I certainly could not read them all this week. But I will try to summarize at least a few of the solutions that people have come up with. The most famous one, of course, is a day is 1,000 years. So time is different to God. When he says, behold, I'm coming soon, and all these other verses, that's in God's timing. But he's not talking to himself. He's talking to us who are in time. Number two. Maybe he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Is that when you say you'll see Christ in his glory, it was when Christ came in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Hard to accept that because that was only a few days later. It's hard to imagine that Jesus would be saying some of you will still be alive in a week or two. That doesn't make much sense. There are whole writers who have suggested he's talking about the resurrection when Christ comes. That's the moment. Or Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Or the destruction of Jerusalem. Many books about that. That's really the fulfillment. But there's no Jesus coming on the clouds. There's no angels. There's no resurrection. There's no going home to heaven. Hard to imagine that those are all the fulfillment. So there's a couple others. Maybe Jesus didn't really know himself when he was going to come. Is that true? That's what it says. Matthew chapter 24, no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels nor the Son himself. When Jesus came down, he let that go. He did not have the capacity to see into the future anymore. So when Jesus is saying this is going to happen soon, he is expressing his desire, his longing. He is not giving you a chart. He's giving you his heart. He said, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. I want to come back. Before you were all gone, some of you will still be alive. I'm coming right back. That's what he wanted to do. Jesus doesn't know the actual time. That's one interpretation. There's a famous story in the Chicken Soup books about the earthquake in Armenia. Not far from you. In 4 minutes, 30,000 people were killed. Buildings were leveled. And the famous story about this one father, the whole elementary school was to the ground, smashed rocks, rubble everywhere. And this father came running up, and he knew his son was in there. And he began calling out, "Arm on earth," and he began with his bare hands to pull the rocks away. Other parents came to him and said, "Don't worry, they're dead. You can't do anything about it. Let it go. They're gone." "No, no, no, I promised him." He had told his son, "Don't you ever worry. If you need me, I will always be there for you. I'll always be there." And so for hours, with his bare hands, he pulled away rock and rubble. 8 hours, 16 hours. His hands were raw. People said, "Don't do it anymore." He kept pulling. He was going to get to his son's classroom. He knew about where the classroom was. And after 38 hours, he finally was able to pull away the last rubble, and he called out and he said, "Are you here, Armani? Are you here?" And his son called out, "Papa, I'm here." And he saved the son and his whole class. He said, "I told my friends, my dad has promised, no worry, you need me, I will always be there. My dad is going to save me, and if you're with me, then you'll all be saved too." And that's the heart of Jesus. And Jesus maybe is saying, when he says these incredible promises, "I'm going to come right back," he's giving his heart. This is not chronological time. This is not a chart. This is just Jesus saying, "I will come. I want to come. I will come the first minute it is possible for me to come. And I want to come back while you're still alive." He's giving his heart. Number six, probably the most popular one now in the Adventist church, is that Jesus is talking about the generation who will see the signs. He's not saying this generation, you people. He's talking about when the people will see the stars falling and see these worldwide events and the wars and all the false Christs and all the false prophets. That generation will not pass until they see all this happen. He's talking about, hopefully, our generation. It's not any particular generation. It's whatever the generation that sees the signs. And they will be able to see it. This is not just a dark day in New England a few people got to see, or the stars falling 200 years ago. These will be the generation that will see these signs worldwide, all over the world. That generation will live to see Jesus come on the clouds. Another interpretation. I don't know where we are in the chart. I used to go whitewater rafting in Oregon. You can look at me now, and I'm an old pastor, but I was young once, and I was a good whitewater rafter. I did that on the Rogue River many times. I had my own boat. And you'd be on the calm river of the Rogue River. You had maybe 15 or 20 of us, and we were going slow, and people were fishing and just doing that. And then all of a sudden, you'd begin to feel some energy, and the canyon walls would begin to narrow, and the river's going a little faster, and there's no more fishing, there's no more talking, and now you're getting ready to do a set of rapids. And you hear it, and all of a sudden, you would look down in front of you, and you would not see anymore. Why? Because you're going to hit it. And you would get in line, and you would paddle as hard as you could to try to hit that first big wave and try to be airborne and get your whole boat out of the water. That's what we tried to do. And the Adventist church, we absolutely believe, because we are Adventists, that we're in that time where there will be a time when the walls are getting closer and the loud, so it's getting louder and the river is going faster, and there will be a time when we will go through this. And can you agree? Well, we don't know where we are in the chart, but can we agree that we are further to the end of the chart than we were before? Back when they first began to talk about the second coming of Christ, if you wanted to send a missionary or a piece of literature somewhere, it might be 6 months on a boat to go to Hong Kong or someplace else. It's hard and slow. But now, today, because of internet and all the communication we have in the world, something happened in a split second. That's all over the world. Everybody knows about it. It's right here in front of you. Surely it is more likely and possible for us to have the gospel to all the world today than it was before. I don't know where we are on the chart, but we're way far ahead of where we used to be. Soon. Not supposed to say it's 1 or 2 or 5 years, but neither are we put it off 10 or 20. Soon. But now we come to the book of Acts. And it says in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the disciples asked him, "Has the time come?" And Jesus says, "It's not for you to know." Then Jesus is taken into the cloud. They watched him go, and then all of a sudden there's two angels there next to them. You know this verse, and it says what? This same Jesus, who you see being taken away from you now, will come back in like manner as you've seen him taken. This same Jesus. That's all the chart you need. And William Johnson says in this book, it is not the when, but the who that really matters in our Adventist eschatology and our view of the last days. We don't need to know when. All you need to know is this, this same Jesus. If you know this same Jesus, then you will be okay when that time comes. And he said, we don't need any more talk about this is the last general conference. We don't only need any more charts, any more adding up all the time, trying to figure it out. When Jesus says, I don't want you to know, we shouldn't try to figure out how to know when it is. I don't want you to know. All you have to know is what? This same Jesus. This same Jesus. Which Jesus? How many Jesuses are there? This same Jesus. The Christmas Jesus. The Jesus who the angel said, be not afraid. I have good news of great joy today. A Savior is born to you. That Jesus. The Jesus who people walked all day to go out there and sit out there and listen without eating any food so they can hear every single word that he gave. The same Jesus who children clawed all over him. The same Jesus who they invited him to every party. He was on the A-list. They wanted him at their weddings and their parties and their banquets. That same Jesus. The same Jesus who never punished anybody, never hurt anybody, only healed and only made good. The same Jesus who died on a cross, who forgave the people who were killing him. That same Jesus who rose from the grave. This same Jesus. The Jesus who hung out with the weird people and the misfit people and the bad people. This same Jesus. Revelation 1 says it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. When Sam talked about this, he said, whenever we have a revelation seminar, it has to be a revelation seminar about Jesus Christ. Revelation of hope and Jesus Christ. He says, unlocking last day prophecies that we're not supposed to unlock about Jesus Christ. It's always Jesus. What's the point? The future is in the hands of Jesus. Amen. Your future, my future is in the hands of Jesus, not in the hands of a chart. Charts are okay. I'm not trying to say charts are all wrong. But that cannot be our heart of our message. The heart of our message is Jesus, this same Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have nothing to worry about in the future. Jesus says he is coming back. That I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be where? With me. That where I am, there you may be also. With Jesus. The question is, are you with him? Our message cannot just be about signs of Christ coming and sending emails around about the latest thing that you read or what the Pope has done or something else. That is not the only message. The heart of the message is Jesus, this same Jesus, is coming back. Are you with him? I grew up. Everybody was always talking about these verses in Revelation 21 about how nothing evil was going to go to heaven. And they would read that list of things and make you feel guilty and scared. My brother sent me an email last week, and he typed off the quotation that was in the morning devotional book that day. And it was a scary quotation that people are not ready. Young people are not ready. People are not ready for Jesus to come. And he said, this is why I and my generation were scared to death when we were growing up. Quotes like this. He's 62 years old. He is a wonderful God person who has written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons for our Adventist speakers. And he can still remember what it was like 45 years ago to live scared to death of Jesus coming. How can that be? Whether you'll be good enough. Don't tell me I'm the only one that has a dream where Jesus is coming and you're scared to death and you don't get to go because you're not ready to go. Most of us have had that dream. And how could we have missed two verses before the verse about nothing evil will go into heaven? The verse 25 says in Revelation 21, don't forget this, the gates will never close. Did you hear it? Did you miss that verse in Revelation and your Revelation seminar? The gates will what? Will never be closed at the end of the day. If you want to be in, you will be in. I did a funeral for a suicide person last Sunday. I did the wedding a year ago. Pastor called me, Pastor Dan. He found him. He took his own life. 1,000 people there, Loma Linda Church last Sunday. I can't talk about that. They asked me not to talk about it. But you know what everyone wants to know. Does he have a chance to be saved? Maybe you won't agree with this, but I preached on the story. I preached here a year ago. Story on the widow of Nain. Jesus has a procession walking to the village, and here comes another procession with the only son of a widow. Exactly the same situation as this person. His mother was a widow. Husband died 2 years ago. Now her son, suicide. Jesus does not ask, who was he? How was he? Does he do good? He didn't ask about his life. Does he go to church? Is he active in Sabbath school? How much is he giving to the church? Is he following all the rules? He doesn't ask anything. He doesn't even know his name. He just heals him and brings him back to life. And I said last week, you don't have to worry about the resurrection morning. There will be no interview. There will be no credit check. There will be no working through your grades or your transcripts or your passport or anything else. All you have to do is be with Jesus. If you want to be with Jesus, then you will be in. That's what it says. The gates will never close. As long as you are with this same Jesus. What are we supposed to do now? While we're waiting, don't know how much longer we have to wait. A lady in Chicago came at me one time in my small group and she said, you Adventists. She was Catholic, came checking us out. And she said, you Adventists are way too focused on the future and the next generation, next life. You need to be here. You need to live in this life. Take responsibility for living in this life. And I have people who say to me, if you focus too much on the second coming all the time on that, then you won't live this life and do what you ought to do with this life. But I think we would want to say it like this. How you know what you ought to do in this life is based upon what you believe about that life. What does Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Pray this prayer, what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how you know how you're supposed to live here, is by what's going to be in heaven. There will be no more death or sickness in heaven, so what do we do now? We fight against death and sickness down here. There will be no racial inequality up there, so we fight against racial inequality down here. There will be no poverty in heaven, therefore we fight against poverty down here. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Don't you separate these two lives out. They come all together in one. And isn't that the whole point of Christianity? You want to be wherever Jesus is. If Jesus is in this life, then we invest in this life with Jesus. If Jesus is in that life, then we want to be in that life. Wherever Jesus is, that's where we want to be. We want to be with this same Jesus. And he's here and he's there. He's in this kingdom and he's in that kingdom. We don't choose between these two kingdoms. In Matthew 19:29, he says, whatever you give up for me and my sake, I will make it up to you 100 to 1 in this life and in the life to come. Amen? Don't we choose between these two lives. While we believe that we're going away someday does not mean we don't live this life fully to the maximum. We will live this life and that life to the full. You proud to be an Adventist today? We have to be careful about the times, careful about charts, careful about trying to focus all the time on signs and timing. Johnson is saying it's not the when, but the who. This same Jesus. I had another story, but I switched it around last night to something. I'm going to send one that is part of my life that I've told 1,000 times. I came a pastor out in Oregon, been there a week, bought a house, preached my first service. Quite a few people said to me, "We're going to have a party tonight. You're welcome to come." But they didn't make a big deal out of it. So I thought it was kind of optional. So I went back to my house, had a house full of boxes, thought I better unpack. Sun went down, changed my clothes, began to unpack. Then I thought, my first church, maybe I should go to this party, be with everybody. So I changed back into my good clothes, drove 45 minutes out to that little country church, little dirt parking lot, drove into the parking lot, walked into that fellowship hall just there a little while ago, did a funeral again. And here was the whole church sitting there with gifts. It was the welcome party for me. And I was this close. I might not have been here. There might have been no pastor, no ordination, no nothing if I had missed that party. And so I've used this line 100 times all over the world. Now I go to every party there is. Might be another party for me. Point is, we are Adventists. Someday there's going to be a party. We're going to tell David and Cheryl tomorrow there's going to be a party someday. Someday we're going to dance. Carol, you know that song you always sing? We're going to dance. That's what we believe. I will never give it up. Will you give it up? We are Adventists. We believe in the second coming. I don't know when. We have to be careful about the when part of it. But I am settled on the who, and he is coming back the first moment he can. And when he can, I'm going to be in the front row, and we're going to go. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you all.
Yes.